Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
The crown jewel of Major League Baseball may have gotten knocked out in the first round of the Home Run Derby, but there was still a very clear win to be had for Shohei Ohtani last night. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike Golic Jr., Janae Agwumike back in the building right now. What's going on, Janae?
Not much. How you doing? I got my training in, and y'all know where I was last night. LA Live, Space Jam premiere, so it was fun times.
Yeah, so I saw the red carpet stuff. Chinee, you and NECA going out there. NECA, your sister, NECA Agwumike, obviously WNBA All-Star, former MVP and champion, also in the cast for the new Space Jam movie. So I know you can't give us away into the details, but overall, how was the experience there at least?
It was immersive. It was immersive, and it felt like a little bit of normalcy because we had a purple carpet. Stars were out and about. Like, we got there just as LeBron James did. And so it was cool to link up with him. John Legend was there as well, sitting next to Zendaya, Don Cheadle. Like, it was just a special experience because it felt like back to normal, right? And the movie. So I'm not going to lie, you guys. I may be biased, but honestly, after you watch Space Jam, Arak Neka is the best character, Goon Squad character. I think you guys will find some moments that her voice really came through, and it was fun. It was an immersive experience watching that film. I'll just say, for those of us who are millennials that grew up on Space Jam, Cliff, yourself, Junior, like the younger versions, like, this movie speaks to our soul because this was our childhood. So like, for the young ones that are watching it now, they're probably like, I'm not watching that much Looney Tunes. Hey,
well, yeah, Janae, this was my next question, because, and apologies to our friends watching on ESPN Plus and the podcast, but this is one of the more celebrated soundtracks of all time. How did that stand up, Janae?
Put your hands in the air. When you've got Kirk Franklin and Lil Baby on a song together for the soundtrack, I mean, come on now. The worlds are colliding.
All right, there we go. All right, you know what? Say no more on
Lillard.
That front.
Dame Dolla had his own
musical that's
moment.
Right, because he's in the movie, too.
Correct.
Dame in the movie and on the track. Hopefully that is all a good masking agent to try and deflect from what's going on with Team USA and him right now. We can get back to that in a little bit. Katie Hennessy tweeted into us, Janae, though, and said she needs talk about that premiere outfit from last night. So a lot of love for the fits that you were serving up for everybody.
I told you guys what I got. What did I get that was new this past week?
Yeah, I'm going to say, Janae leveled up a little bit, went with the stylist now, which is what happens once you make the late night jump, I feel like, Janae.
Shout out to Corey Roche, baby. All right. Okay. Yeah. So that was a little bit, if you go to my social media, that was a little bit different for me. Like, I don't wear short shorts because my legs are long. It's not the normal long. They're like a rock neck long. Okay. And so he was like, wear this. Y'all, do you want to know how much the jacket was?
I'm kind of worried it's going to make me feel bad about things.
No, but the cool thing about stylists is like, they give you pieces and they take the pieces, right? Because you're $2,800.
Oh my God.
I saw that and I was like, stay away from me. No hugs. See? Everything's social distance.
That's what I'm saying. I'd be too afraid to do stuff in that, Janae. Like, I legitimately, this weekend, I knew I was going to be at a place where there might be barbecue. And so I stopped wearing a shirt that was partially white, let alone one that would cost over.
You're telling me I own nothing that's white in my wardrobe for the essence of not getting something spilled and that phobia. And so, yeah, like, my stylist is like, Janae, like, it's okay, you're good. I was like, because he told me one piece. I was like, there's a ribbon. Do I cut it? And he's like, no, that's yours. That's $80. I was like, oh, perfect. Okay, I can do that. And then the jacket, I was like, okay, what do I do with the jacket? You don't have to take this back.
Yeah, no.
Alexander McQueen, baby.
I am not touching anything that is a part of this right now. You can take it on. You can put it on me and take it off me when we are done.
And don't hug me.
You don't get to hug me ever. By the way, you mentioned it. Shout out to Don Cheadle picking up the Emmy nom for 2 minutes of FaceTime during the Falcon and Winter Soldier series on Disney Plus here. Finesse God extraordinaire by Don Cheadle. There are levels to this. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit progressivecommercial.com. And Janae, I know we talked some about this yesterday, and also we heard a lot of conversation around Shohei Ohtani on First Take yesterday and today, and just in general on the network, his place in the sport as now the face of the sport in so many ways. it has been talked about. But I thought one thing in particular was interesting that June Lee brought up yesterday is we saw him go out there in the home run derby. He's going to be leading off and the starting pitcher in the All-Star game tonight was the fact that what he's doing has been made even more impressive by the fact that he's doing this all in a spot where, as was pointed out, English is his second language here. It's a language he knows, but not as well as he knows Japanese. And so he does speak using an interpreter. But when you look at that and what he's accomplished in this sport, Chiné, and I bring this up with you because you've told us time and time again, and for people who aren't aware, many of the WNBA players are going overseas in the WNBA offseason to play professionally there. And so, Chiné, the experience of trying to be the best at a sport that you have come over here to play in an environment where you are not the native and you are not speaking the native language, I'd have to imagine is one of the tougher things to pull off.
Yeah, you know, one thing that I have learned being a professional athlete currently and also one that has played overseas now, WNBA players play from May to October traditionally in the WNBA. From October to May, we typically are overseas. I played in Italy and China. My sister played in Poland, China, and Russia. Russia for 5 years, China for two or so, and then Poland for one. And we have unique dynamics at play. First of all, no matter who you are, when you are in a league that is not your home country, there is, you know, difficulties that do, there are difficulties that arise due to the cultural barriers, right? When I was in Italy, you know, the first car I got was a stick shift. Not saying that that's cultural, but that's just, it was a little bit more accessible. And I was like, oh snap. Like, first of all, I need to like learn how to drive the stick shift or can I get an automatic car? Secondly, most of my teammates, fortunately in Italy, spoke English, so it was easier. But still, getting immersed to the environment was one thing. But once you get there, you're expected to perform as you're making these adjustments. And so being in a certain place for a long amount of time, you know, Shohei Ohtani being here in the States, it, like, initially it's difficult, but that doesn't mean a few years later that makes anything that you're doing easier. So when you see someone with that is not from the place where the league is, like, those difficulties are real. When I was in China, I was in the Hunan province of it was a town called Luoyang, Hunan province, mainland China, and it was a more traditional area, not necessarily like the techie Hong Kong areas, Shanghai, even Shenzhen. And for me, that was difficult, being the only American in that space traditionally, or the only English speaker, right? I had a translator. And the beautiful thing is, like, the things that we're talking about that wrongfully made, you know, the news were the things that made my experience rich. You know, having a translator that made my life easier was amazing. Having teammates that had cultural experiences that I was just trying to understand and know was amazing. Those were all great things that I got to experience, and I left China so much better for it. And so I think flipping this on its head and now celebrating Shohei Ohtani for everything that he has achieved so far and continues to achieve, that's the amazing part. And having those cultural experiences on top of experiencing sports, Junior, that is what makes sports, like the beauty of it all. So, I mean, yeah. Well, and I mean, this is my life.
Well, and Chiné, I mean, I think the beauty of sports, like you said, is we've always asked, we want athletes to be themselves, right? You play better when you feel like you can be your full self. And as we talk about this, so much of this has ended up becoming about, you know, the face of the sport, meaning marketability. You used a translator over there, I'd imagine, so you could feel more comfortable expressing yourself, right?
I mean, I needed food. I needed to figure out how to turn on my television. Like, these were the bare necessities. And by the way, like, when we talk about these things about translators, like, they're like, my translator was dope. His name was Jiang Yifan. He had a Nick Young tattoo, Swaggy P tattoo on his arm. That's how much he loved. I know, right? That's how much he loved basketball. And so for me to come over, like, it just every time he 4 a.m., 4 p.m., he was smiling, and like, it just was amazing. And to like, sort of, once you know that that's likely the experiences that people are having, that's the dominant narrative that people need to hear. Not like the one that is so easy to say, well, that the face was like, no, it's a global game now, especially with how everything has no boundaries and borders.
Yeah. Well, Shohei Ohtani, maybe increase his marketability as he gets better and better with English. Because he knows English. He just, again, when he wants to express himself, feel comfortable stating himself to the media, the translator helps with that stuff. Will that come with time? Absolutely. But as you mentioned, we want stars to be themselves. You play better that way. And you see the genuine joy that comes with Shohei Ohtani because he does feel more comfortable through all those things. And that's what is allowing him to go out and accomplish enough to be voted into the Major League Baseball bleeping all-star game as the starting pitcher and the leadoff hitter. So it's all felt kind of insane the last couple of days.
Yeah.
But it's what it's led back to ultimately has now been a further celebration of a guy who's had one of the more historic first half of the season runs we've seen in quite some time. And you can join Shohei Ohtani and the rest of the AL superstars as they take on Fernando Tatis Jr. and the NL Stars. How about that for your two leadoff hitters, by the way?
Yes.
Fernando Tatis Jr. and Shohei Ohtani. Sign me the hell up. Coverage of the 2021 MLB All-Star Game is going to begin tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, right after us here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. But coming up next, Team Australia got a win over Team USA in an exhibition leading up to the Tokyo Games. And they did it without one star on the court for them at that time. What's the next step for Ben Simmons back here in the U.S.? We'll tell you next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Igumike. And Chinay, you remember me saying before this past NBA season what I thought the Philadelphia 76ers needed to do with their star player Ben Simmons. I said you give up heaven and earth to get that man out of town and bring James Harden into town.
Oh, I thought that's what Cliff said, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, no, Chinay, because remember, Cliff and the rest of Philadelphia fought me pretty hard on that one.
Oh, maybe it was Tobias he was talking about.
Yeah, oh no, Tobias is a different story. I feel like there was
at this point, it's both of them, man. All right, lump them in the same category.
Wow. See, so this is what we've gotten to, Chinay, because we have reports into The Athletic, sources telling them that the 76ers have opened up trade conversations surrounding Ben Simmons and have engaged with teams. And, Chinay, I think this can really work out for everybody. Like, I know the Sixers are going to try and get an all-star caliber player back. I think someone is going to take a chance on Ben Simmons. I think someone could fix Ben Simmons. I just think at this point with their timeline and with Joel Embiid, the way he has performed deserves a better running mate, and they've got to make it happen sooner because we also saw he's a big man. He has a big body that takes a lot of pounding, but is clearly only built to take so much. I think the clock and the timeline have already started for them, Chinay, so they got to get him out of town here. Am I crazy for this still? Am Philly going to riot against me? Is there something to save here, Chinay?
Why do you sound like the NBA analyst here? That's my job. Good take. Ben Simmons, you know, you're right. I think this was a very, what do you call it? Like, prove it year. It was a prove it year. You love to say prove it years for NFL quarterbacks. Well, for this NBA All-Star, it was a prove it year. They had more time to process. They had the requisite supporting cast to make a real move. And Joel Embiid, like I know a lot of people say, injury prone. Well, every year those injuries diminish. Like he's finding his way closer and closer to having a more successful season from a health standpoint. And they've seen a lot from Ben Simmons, probably just not enough, especially in these high-pressure moments where they're getting exploited by hack-a-Ben strategies, which you never should see in the professional ranks. Ben Simmons is a very talented player. It just seems that for Joel Embiid's talents, you're absolutely right, Mike Golic Jr. You need to maximize on them right now and maybe bring in someone that is a more versatile scoring threat that can carry that load, not someone that maybe is more defensive and can get you assists. There are a lot of guys that can get you assists, but also get you 30 points from the perimeter.
Well, today,
Joel feels better.
Well, I was going to say, that was my question then, if we can put on the NBA analyst hat for you then here, is as we look out there, who are some of the names that make sense? Like I've heard CJ McCollum thrown out as a potential name here. Would that be enough of a return for Philadelphia here?
I'm not mad at CJ McCollum, but Ben Simmons, I know that people will say, like, well, after this playoff run in the last few years and the lack of the development of a shot, you know, you can't get, like, a top-tier all-star. I think you can. Ben, what makes him not good for Philly might make him great for another team, depending on the system or the fit. Like, a team that already has a lot of shooters and just needs a plug-and-play, versatile forward that can also push the rock. Right? You know? So I'm thinking, like, the idea of exploring, you know, trade conversation for Ben is a good idea. Finding another place for him, might probably work out better for both sides, both parties involved. Now, the question is, who will probably end up winning, right? Like, the Philadelphia 76ers window for winning is right now. So whoever they get needs to put them in position for that. So there's more pressure on Philly. The team that gets Ben Simmons might look at them, you know, him, the way you said, Mike Golden Jr., in a way where it's like, all right, we're going to spend 3 years to develop him. And I think a good comparison to this, look no further than your own franchise. Markelle Fultz, when he went to Orlando, I mean, Markelle Fultz metaphorically was broken as a player leaving Philly, but then he found himself and unfortunately got injured, but he had a lot of momentum for what he was doing in Orlando. And so if you can sort of replicate that, saying, you know what, this is a guy that's healthy, durable, and strong. We just got to figure out how to get him that confidence to expand his game and his range. We have time. You know, we have a timeline, and he's going to be an integral piece, not the piece. Maybe third piece. Who knows? All right, that's the best case scenario. So when I saw that, I was like, this might be good. Plus, Philly's just a difficult city, man. Well, I love y'all. But
that is the thing, Chinee. We were talking about this with Cliff earlier. The areas where Ben Simmons failed, what we talked about, especially down the stretch, because it was mental. He looked mentally broken out there. It was instances where he didn't look like, as Cliff brought it up earlier, said he didn't have any dog in him in those moments. And Philly's not a city that can tolerate you not going out there and playing with a level of effort and toughness, Cliff. And but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's 100% correct. Like, what's so hard about Philly? Like, just play hard. Like, that's all we ask for is just some effort. That's it.
But if you play hard and then you're not shooting open threes, you're going to still say, like, oh, well, you're not shooting open threes.
That means
well,
you're not playing hard then.
Open layups. Open layups.
Exactly, which means he's not playing hard.
No,
so
I still think that, like, if he, you know, if he finished at the rim, you guys, and but he was a liability offensively and, like, not being able to space the floor for Ben, for Joel, you guys still would have him.
Well, Chinee, let me put it like this then, because I think this is really what's been the thing that's hurt Ben Simmons' case the most is if you took all of, I'm not going to say this person's ability, but if you just took all of Ben Simmons' same physical abilities and gave him Giannis Antetokounmpo's mindset, we'd be good.
Yeah.
Like, skill set wise, Giannis is not that much far off.
You know, I just still don't think Philly would be the right fit just because, I mean, I'm not talking about the city, but they need someone that will make Joel Embiid's life easier. We now know unequivocally that Joel Embiid is their number one option, right? You need to make Joel Embiid's life easier, not just because of the game, but also for the health and longevity of your franchise player. And if Ben Simmons doesn't do that by making, you know, stretching the floor, no matter how hard he plays, that's still going to be a question mark. And that's the hard decision that they're going to have to make in that front office.
I feel like that's going to be a decision that gets made, but I think the hardest part about it is going to be trying to make sure and figure out, manufacture ways. Like, I have a feeling this isn't the first bit of reports that we're going to see leaked out about this situation, because it's going to be the tug of war between both sides of trying to make sure Ben Simmons' value is maximized, because everyone else right now is going to be looking to come in and get this dude for the cheap. After what we saw in this finals, the recency bias around Ben Simmons is going to work against them for every team going after him. They've got to be able to create a market, because ultimately moving him, I believe, is the right decision. So we'll wait to see what happens with Ben Simmons in the NBA. We know we won't be seeing Ben Simmons in the Olympics. He said he's taking this offseason to focus on his individual game. But what can we expect from the games coming up in Tokyo? And what does preparation look like for an Olympics that got pushed back a year in the timetable? We will ask a two-time Olympic medalist next here on ESPN Radio after this word from Indeed. Now, the reasons to find your next hire with Indeed are really starting to add up. Just look at the numbers. Instant Match searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver candidates whose resumes fit your job description. They have 135 skills tests that go beyond the resume to help you find the right candidates even faster. And, according to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined. So, if you want to multiply your employees and subtract the hassles of finding them, visit Indeed.com/credit. Let's get you all set for Tokyo next here on ESPN Radio.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And we're excited. We got the Summer Olympic Games coming up in Tokyo at the end of this month here. And it's quite a process. We know last year the games got pushed back a year. There's been all of these changes in the way that we go about this. And so for more on how some of the best and brightest in sports have been preparing for these games, what to expect inside Olympics, and even more, we're delighted to head to the Goodyear Hotline to talk to Lori Hernandez, a two-time Olympic medalist and Dancing with the Stars champion, I mind you, kind enough to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, Lori is pausing her gymnastics career due to a knee injury, recovering during this year. So she's going to participate in the games in a commentating capacity this year. So, Lori, how are you? That's exciting news.
I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate you joining us here today, and I want to get to all of that, but I'd be remiss because when I looked up your bio, I saw Superhero Nerd, and I saw a lot of tweets about some of the recent Marvel releases. So I can only imagine that we know the injury is a bummer and you would rather be competing, but you've got to be pretty excited about the crop of Marvel shows between Loki, between what we've seen from WandaVision, Black Widow now in theaters out. Do you have a favorite from this summer on that front? Because it's been great.
Oof, I mean, that's really tough. I love all of them. I just got, like, caught up to Loki, and I think it's delicious. I love watching all the different Lokis that we see on the show. WandaVision definitely has my heart. Wanda's been my favorite since Age of Ultron came out, so clearly my superhero nerd coming out a little bit. But listen, training or not training, I would definitely be watching those shows. They're pretty great.
Lori, I'm so sorry. I've been stuck at Guardians of the Galaxy on my Marvel challenge. I promise I will catch up. Lori Hernandez, two-time Olympic medalist, joining us here on Today and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And can you sort of talk about your personal journey? I know that knee injury is difficult, but yeah, you have a tremendous opportunity for your voice to be heard for the sport this year in Tokyo as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was at championships a few weeks ago, and I was doing a like warm-up dismount. And we had warmed up everything, like the crowd was going, we were about to like get ready to tape the live show and everything. And I landed on a straight leg. And so I ended up like hyperextending my knee. I had a bone bruise, a torn meniscus, kind of the works in there. So, it was definitely an injury that I had to pause everything and, take some time off for sure. And we're still doing physical therapy and recovering right now. But I definitely have a great opportunity to go to Tokyo and to be able to go for NBC and Peacock and be a commentator. I mean, it's definitely like, I'm super grateful for it.
And you'll be able to take people inside this process. What's it been like over the last year? We know this was a Games that was postponed. It was some of the most adverse circumstances we've seen. So what was it like adjusting training and everything else about life getting ready for this?
Yeah, honestly, it was really difficult. I mean, for a lot of us, and especially like internationally, I mean, countries were closed down and they were on full lockdowns. And so it's going to be interesting to see athletes at the Olympics this year to see what skill level they're at. And I think there should be a little leniency and grace for all of the athletes, not just in gymnastics. But at the same time, you know, me being able to have that extra year, it gave me some time to hone in on some of the basics and to kind of upgrade my technique and to bring in new skills that maybe I wouldn't have competed yet. So I was definitely grateful to that, but it made things very difficult.
Yes, this past year has been a year like no other. But can you, it doesn't happen often, but like, we are all fans. Like, we are probably the youngest contingent of people that work at ESPN. And so we sort of grew up with you, watching you, rooting for you, representing our country. Okay. Can you sort of take us behind the scenes of what it's been like to train with this current team that is going to Tokyo?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this team going to Tokyo is really strong. We have some girls that maybe, like, of course, me being in the sport, I know who they are. They've been around for a very long time. But to the open eye and to the open public, these are names that maybe some people have not heard yet before. Of course, we all know Simone. But with Suni, Grace, and all of our girls that are coming into there, we got Jordan, we have Michaela Skinner, we got Jade Carey. And we have, you know, quite a handful of girls that are heading over. There's going to be new names that are going to shine out there that we should definitely be keeping an eye on.
Lori Hernandez, two-time Olympic medalist with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. You mentioned Simone, and like you've said, there have been, I think, a lot of names through the years that people have gotten to know through the Olympics, through international competition, but she seems to have surpassed any mark we've had for fame in this sport. What separates her in your mind from maybe some of the others that we've seen come before her?
Well, I mean, Simone has a bunch of skills that are named after her, and the only way that you could do that is to go to a World Cup or World Championships or an Olympic Games and to do this skill that nobody's done before and to nail it. And as long as you make that skill now gets a start value given to it, depending on how difficult it is, and the skill now takes your last name, and it gets to essentially live on forever. She has multiple skills named after her, so she's constantly doing new things that we've never seen before, and I think that's what makes her so great.
Well, Lori, your perspective on this and the entire squad heading to Tokyo is super amazing. I have a slight chance of going as an athlete myself. I'm a hooper. And you know what's funny? You know, preparing. I know. I'm so excited. Fingers crossed. And preparing for this, I'm packing, right? And one of the things that I packed today was Dr. Teals. Can you talk to me about your relationship with them?
Yeah, so Dr. Teal's new performance Epsom salt soak, it helps speed up recovery time, combining pure Epsom salt, menthol, and a few other things to help ease muscle aches and joint pain from exercise. I personally feel that a cool down from a workout and like the aftercare of a workout is extremely underrated and it's not talked about enough. And, you know, we talk about taking care of ourselves all the time and being proactive about that, but we never talk about the come down and how that could lead to tighter muscles or chronic pain in the future just from, you know, not taking the time to take care of yourself after the workout is done. So that's kind of where Dr. Teals comes in. They help with that recovery. It helps make your muscles feel good and helps set you up for a better day tomorrow.
All right. So before we let you go, Lori Hernandez is recovering with Dr. Teal. She is getting right. She is enjoying that downtime here. She gets one choice of a movie from the Marvel Cinematic Universe to put on. That movie is?
The audacity to only pick one? I'd have to pick Infinity War, even though that's really sad.
You know what? No, I honestly, Lori, that would be my first choice, too. So I believe, I knew this coming in, you have incredible taste both on and outside of the arena here. So, Lori, we can't thank you enough for the time here. We'll have to bring you back as our Marvel correspondent in here
Precisely.
As well at some point.
We need that.
Get you involved in
Listen,
all this.
I'm so down. I'm trying to sneak my way into being a superhero, you know? So
You already are one, girl, okay? You be flying.
Absolutely. Great. Good luck with everything over in Tokyo in the commentary role. We're looking forward to hearing your voice on all of these things, taking us inside and giving us great insight on all
this.
Thank you, Lori.
Oh, thank you guys so much. Good luck.
Awesome stuff. Lori Hernandez, again, two-time Olympic medalist, kind enough to join us here on the Goodyear Hotline. And we talked about the success that we have seen from USA Gymnastics over in these games. Coming up next, can we expect that same level of success still from the men's hoops team? That's next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN
really?
Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Our thanks to Lori Hernandez, two-time Olympic medalist, for joining us in this last segment, talking about what it takes to get ready for the Tokyo Games. We might have to give her a call back and have her give Team USA a pep talk at this point. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. What the hell's going on right now, Janae? Because the loss to Nigeria was a good story. It was a sign. Really, we could spend more time talking about what that meant for the Nigerian national team and say for Team USA, you know what? They learned that the rest of the world is catching up. What does a second loss in a row to Australia now tell you about this team, Janae?
Okay. Don't panic. Team USA still has, you know, the best players out of any team. But the reality is, yes, the rest of the world is catching up. The game is becoming more global. We're seeing a lot of more international stars. I mean, not to like simplify the situation, but EuroLeague is producing Luka Doncic's now. Kristaps Porzingis is now. Even, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo's now. You know, so the reality is that the game is getting more competitive and it's better for the NBA, but at the same time, that may make it harder for the U.S. national team because it's more equitable with how talent is dispersed. And so you look at these teams that are getting, you know, quality NBA players and reps, right? And then on top of it, you have these teams where they're practicing and they're like growing with the same group of players for years. Like you have Luka Doncic, you know, getting Slovenia to the Olympics. I think that's correct. Like they qualified through this last, qualification tournament. And so like these things don't happen overnight. It's not just Luka showing up and showing out. It's the fact that he has guys he knows. So he steps into a team and the chemistry is already there. We have the opposite problem where we have like the premier talent, but the chemistry is not something that you can, you know, just snap your fingers and get overnight. There's still a learning curve. And, this is just an abnormal situation where LeBron James and Steph Curry are not there. Usually you have those premier talents that can bend the game to their will. Kevin Durant is one of those guys, but like, honestly, it's just, it's just different times right now for these NBA players coming off of a season where they got limited rest and were dealing with injuries.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Chiney, if we're dealing in reality in this situation, right? Because in reality, you're right. They have not been able to practice. Like, there was no practice time. This was almost immediately after that game against Nigeria. There has not been a lot of time together. Players like Jrue Holiday, who are going to be a part of this team, are still competing in the NBA Finals that are going on later than usual. Reality doesn't work when we're talking about U.S. men's basketball. Like, all people care about is, did you win the game or not? And really, that's not even the case. What people wait for is this instance here. And that's where Greg Popovich comes into this in an interesting scenario, because Pop is now the head coach of the U.S. team. We know that was Mike Krzyzewski-ville for so long here. Greg Popovich was an assistant before when some things went wrong for Team USA. And so it seems like some of that's bleeding into what clearly sounds like a sensitivity on his part to the way this team's perceived. Listen to the back and forth between Greg Popovich at the podium and a reporter after this loss to Australia.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. Can I finish my statement? Are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you. When you make statements about, in the past, just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against four or five countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on, and that's incorrect.
Chiney Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. And Chiney, they're not blowing teams out. They're just beating them by a large number of points in the past. There's a difference.
Clearly not. I think that was just a trigger point because they're in uncharted waters. Knowing that likely they can just put it all together for the Olympics and have the requisite talent to win a gold medal, but you're dropping back-to-back games and that has not ever happened. And I just think it's ironic because through my lens, as someone that is Nigerian and American, so I follow both cultures, I will never forget what my timeline looked like after Nigeria lost to USA by 80-some points. Like, the jokes were going crazy on my timeline for not just Nigerians, but, like, Africans in general. And so when we're in 1 week where two losses are incurred, yeah, like, that's a normal question. I just think that that's, like, textbook Pop, but Pop normally does that in the good because we've seen a lot of good happen as of late, you know, with their most recent championship, even though they have sort of fallen off the last few years. And then now transitioning over, this is the bad. And there's a pressure point for USA. Like, it just is a difficult position to be in as the face, as one of the faces of the team. This is all not looking good. Like, Tokyo will cure all for Team USA when they get there. And they have their sense of urgency, and they win games.
Well, it better, Chiney, because for Greg Popovich, what this also, I have to imagine, feels like is a lot of the same things he saw said about that 04 team, right? When he was an assistant for Larry Brown and company when they won that bronze medal.
Yeah.
Like, Greg Popovich being the one commonality in all this. Because the other thing is, Pop is going to deal in reality like this with you. He is going to address the current situation. He talked about sticking to the plan they've laid out here. As we heard Mike Krzyzewski, who departed in his role as the U.S. men's coach, talking about how the one loss that he sustained in international competition keeps him up at night and gave people everything they wanted to hear. Like, Chiney, fans of this don't want to hear reality. They want to hear you say, this is what I live and die for. These are the things that I all care about. That's going to be the thing that pops up against
here. I mean, there's no reality ever since we've dubbed one of our best teams ever the dream team. So, like, we're still dreaming. So
exactly. Still a lot of dreams here, not a ton of reality for Team USA. But I agree with you, Chiney. I think that right now, this is a reminder. The rest of the world, in a lot of these instances, Australia's a really good basketball team.
Yep.
They've played together for a long time here. We talked about some of the talent that was on that Nigerian roster here. There's going to be plenty of that. But we know, we look at this roster for Team USA, and despite some of its flaws, especially on the inside, there's enough talent to win if we just give them the time to do so. or so I'm going to tell myself so I sleep better at night. Coming up next, though, someone who has very little to prove anymore, Giannis Antetokounmpo. What have we seen already through three games that should erase all doubt for this superstar? Next.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.